Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to Cancel 38. We are so excited for today's episode. I am Claire Bettag, and I'm joined with my friend Macy Gunnell. And today we have a very exciting guest. Her name is Julie Gebbards. And in today's guest interview, we introduce a powerhouse advocate from Florida. She is a mother of six who is boldly challenging the Hillsborough County School Board system. She is known for her unwavering determination, and she has truly made waves nationwide. She has made an appearance on Jesse Waters of Fox News, Newsmax, Libs of TikTok, Fox 13, a Wall Street Journal podcast, Florida's Voice, and the New York Post. Please welcome Julie Gebbards. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
So yes, we are very, very excited to have you. We are going to just jump right into it, kind of. If you could just start off by breaking it down for us, like, when did this all start and what kind of like initially prompted you to get involved with taking action against the school board system?
Sure. So my story is that actually 3.5 years ago, my daughter came home from school asking me to purchase a book for her class. She was a sophomore at the time, and I just looked up a simple review on the book online, and I discovered a litany of explicit sexual content that was in that book. So it had, I mean, everything from sodomy, bestiality, incestuous rape. I mean, everything you can imagine was listed on this book review website. And so I started digging in and I realized it was far worse than I had even imagined. And that book alone had the most graphic depictions of pedophilia and just really nasty content. And so that kind of began my digging into what was actually happening in schools, because to that point, I had implicit trust that the public school system wouldn't. I didn't think it was perfect, but I did not imagine the depth of darkness that I would find just by looking through the school library books and the content there. So that's what began the whole journey.
How old was your daughter at the time that this all happened?
She was 15. So she was a sophomore, 15 years old. So not ready for any content like that, in my estimation, as a parent. And I think it's my right to determine when. She may have been ready for it, but
it wasn't. Yeah. So was this something that was kind of always an issue for you, or was this really like the first thing that woke you up? I mean, I guess I'm intrigued as to like exactly what was special about this instance.
Yeah. So we had been in California for a year before this, back in California, that's where I'm from. And the kids were in public school there. And there were a few things they came home from school with there that I was like, what's going on? It was kind of more confusing to me because I still was not thinking that I should distrust. I was just not paying attention. I had six kids and I was just in the throes of mothering and was not paying close attention. So I did have a little bit of an alert there in California. And then, but really that is, I thought, oh, we're moving to Florida. This will be great. It's conservative and, you know, the rest. But we got here and that was what, our second year here, I think, that we discovered that. And so that really was kind of the first real wake up call for me.
So then from there, when you were basically woken up by this, was that, did you just go, like, how did you take on this? Did you just go to the libraries and start, you know, looking through everything that was being offered, or like, how did you go about that?
Yeah. So, you know, it was kind of a little bit of a process. I think I ordered the book, I read it myself, and was appalled that anyone would consider it. The book is called The Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison, and she's a revered author, but it's unbelievable the detail that was in this book. So I read the book, and then, you know, it was during COVID, and a lot of these parents were starting to show up at school board meetings, and so there was a day I remember where I was driving in my car and I thought, what do I do with this information that I now have? It's like burning inside me. And I popped on probably Instagram or something. And there I saw another school board speech. And I thought, I need to go to the school board. That's what I need to do. These other parents have the courage to do it. I didn't want to do it. I was terrified. But I decided at that moment, I'm going to the school board. So I searched, found out when they meet, and started, I went to that first board meeting, and funny thing, they really jumped at when I read, because I'm like, well, that's what they do. You just read from the book, because you can't really describe it. You just have to read it and allow the people to assess it for themselves. So I read directly from that book. And I did get quite a reaction from the board. They sent the chief of schools out after me and was like, I'm so sorry. We're going to take care of this right away. We're going to take these books out of the schools. Do you want to be on a committee? You can help us and all this. And I'm like, sure. Yeah, let me help. I'm so happy to hear that this is troubling to you as well. None of that ever happened. They never removed that book. It's still in our schools. And so when I started seeing the inconsistency of their reaction and then what actually followed, which was absolutely nothing. And in Hillsborough County for the last 3.5 years, they have done nothing to take care of these books. And so that just ignited me even further as they dismissed basically what I'd said and, continued on with their board meetings as usual. I just kept coming back. So I've probably been to 30 board meetings at least now. Because what I discovered from there is that there are literally thousands and thousands of these books in school libraries across the country, especially in Hillsborough County. I think we have so many. So
some people will say, you know, it doesn't matter. Obviously, like, children need this type of information to develop and to grow. They need a new perspective. What are your thoughts on this? And can you kind of touch on the effects of porn slash, you know, pornographic material in literature on children?
Yeah. So I think the people that say that are not actually looking at the books. I think that's a real problem, is people will talk all about book banning and they'll talk all around the issues, but they will not read from the books. Because as soon as you start to read, I'm looking at a stack of books right here in front of me. As soon as you start to read or look at these books and you realize this is stuff that they cannot play on radio airwaves, they cannot put it on the evening news, it can't be printed in a newspaper, but they're putting it in children's libraries. And real, like, thinking adults recognize the harm that this does, the normalization of all of these wild sexual behaviors when you put it in school books and you tell the kids essentially this is normal behavior. You are, there's a word for it, grooming, and you're bringing down all their defenses against, you know, what they would normally recognize as something inappropriate. Now, because they've read about it in school books, they're like, oh, I guess this is normal. That's what happens. And these kids are groomed to believe that all of these things are normal. And I'm telling you, the content of these books, it's not normal. I read to our school board yesterday some of the most, I've never seen anything worse. Sexual torture, including murder, described in detail. And we have 6 copies in Hillsborough County Schools. Mm-hmm. Absolutely the most abhorrent content I've ever seen in my life. So no parent, it doesn't fall under, you know, these broad categorizations of diversity. I mean, it's absurd to say that. Yeah.
I watched that video that you posted on your Instagram and I could barely get through it. It was truly disgusting. And I really do encourage anybody who's watching this to go to Julie's Instagram, which is, I believe, Julie_Ann_speaks, because you truly don't understand how disgusting it is until you hear these words. And if you're okay with children reading these books, I think that you have a deeper issue and you need to get to the bottom of what your issue is, because it's truly disgusting. And I'm just curious, like, how does being a mother of 6, like, truly, how does this influence your fight and, you know, change the way that you look at things?
Yeah, so I recognize, I mean, you just know when you have kids that your job as a parent is to protect them from harm, you know, and I just know that the kids that are introduced to this stuff when they're so young, it really, like, guts them, you know, it dehumanizes them when they read and then are exposed to and participate in sexual behaviors at a really young age. It causes chaos in their heart, in their mind, and in their lives. And, you know, that's the last thing that a mother wants for her kids. You know, we are given the task by God to protect them and to train them and to teach them boundaries and safety. And these books work together to tear that down. And so many of them have themes, like anti-family themes in them as well. Just, you know, making the parents out to be fools and idiots, especially the religious parents. You know, and so it really, it's a concerted effort to just break down the family, and it's really tragic.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you're so right. I mean, it's grooming. That's what it is. And it's just absolutely horrific. Not just the very pornographic material, but also, like you said, the messages. I think people fail to realize, like, the very anti-family, very, you know, very woke messages that are kind of brainwashing our kids. So, so I guess our next question, with us being called Cancel 38, we focus a little bit on cancel culture these days. So I guess our question is, what is the backlash you've received after putting your name out there, especially from, family and friends on this issue?
Thankfully, the people that I surround myself with are really supportive. My kids are all very supportive. One of them, my daughter, actually went to the last school board, not yesterday's, but the one before, with me, and also spoke to the issues. She's the one who was assigned the book to read. So I do feel like I have a great support system around me immediately, a very supportive husband who helps a lot with just processing all of this and keeping me in check and in balance. But I have gotten quite a bit of backlash. Outside of that, there are people dedicated to tearing my name down on other Instagram accounts that are pretty aggressive in that attempt. And then, you know, actually the school board posted my cell phone number and my home address, because I had filed a book challenge. And so they put that on the district website, which was then picked up by several people who posted it to their accounts, that, you know, my private information was made accessible. So, you know, there's been that, which is, you know, not fun to consider, you know, what could come of that. And the intimidation factor is real. You know, with people who don't like what we're doing. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's about it.
So, obviously you've gained a lot of media traction on this issue. Would you say that, getting that media attention brought towards Hillsborough County has helped your cause in any way?
So, I have to say that my goal is not immediately to change what's happening in Hillsborough County. If that were my goal, then I've been in complete failure. My goal is to expose what's been happening in the darkness. And in Hillsborough County, yes, I did pull my kids out of public school after all of this happened. So I'm not particularly concerned for my own children. But exposing what's happening in the darkness has been my goal. And so every time, you know, media picks up on it, or I have the opportunity to speak on a podcast and let people know what's going on, I count that as a win. More people need to wake up to the reality of the evil, the absolute evil that's being perpetrated on kids, and realize that they are coming for your kids and my kids. And so the exposure is what I'm aiming at. So those are the successes that I count.
Definitely. Yeah. So along the lines of what you just said, I'd like to zoom out a little bit, because, I mean, it's obviously, it's not just an issue within your school area. This is the entire United States. I mean, heck, the entire world. I mean, there's a lot of grooming going on in school systems everywhere. So why do you think it's so difficult for the government school system to realize that this is such a bad thing? Like, why is it so hard for them to take action and be on your side? Because, I mean, what you're doing is good. I just can't comprehend why anyone would not realize the horror behind this.
Right. And that is, I think it's because the schools are controlled by the unions, and the relationship between the federal government and the unions has been It's been plain. I don't get into all the details of that because, quite frankly, I don't understand all of them. I do know that that partnership and the government that we currently have is pushing forward all of this agenda in the schools, and they're fighting against what the majority of parents think is reasonable to have in schools. And so, you know, I guess that's how I see it, is that they're working together to corrupt the children. You know, there's no way around it. You see who the president aligns himself with. And I just saw yesterday the trans woman who was on the lawn at the White House, you know, arrested, but was standing there with arm around President Biden, you know. So he is aligning himself and meeting with Dylan Mulvaney and, you know, with all of these sexually perverse things and ideologies. And so they're working together, and it's not going away.
Yeah. The indoctrination is so real. And I'm happy you talked about, you know, the whole Dylan Mulvaney thing, because it's just so disgusting what they're, you know, forcing children to even watch and not even give them the option to. So obviously our main demographic we have on the podcast is mostly college students would be our guests. And obviously this is the next generation of parents. And if you had to do this all over again, what is some advice that you would, you know, give to Gen Z, who is, you know, going to be raising the next generation? And what could we do differently to prevent any of this from happening in the future?
Yeah, well, I think that ultimately, we have to be grounded deeply in what we believe in. So, you know, what we have done with our kids is to train them up to hold tight to scripture, to God's word, that is the anchor point. And you have to have an anchor point. These school boards that don't have a strong relationship with God, they waver on everything because there's no moral grounding. There's no mooring post that they're holding to. This is the establishment of, you know, what's good and true and right. And we find that in scripture. God made them male and female. That's it. And so I think that we need to really get back to a commitment to ultimate truth. You know, who is God? What is the meaning and the purpose of my life? What am I here for? Who is Jesus Christ? What did he say about who I am? And so we really have to go all the way back to our roots as a human being created in the image of God. What does that mean for who I am and how I should live my life? So that's some ultimate truth that really needs to be planted deep, deep in our hearts. So
yeah, America definitely has lost touch with Jesus. America needs Jesus right now. I definitely agree on that. So we are both students at St. Mary's College, and I don't know how much you are aware of everything we've had to deal with, but we've had a thing or two going on there. But as we've kind of dived deep into all the issues at the school, we've gotten a taste of some pretty horrific books that are available at the St. Mary's Library. So one situation recently was in an English class. There was a book that the students were being forced to read called Salvage the Bones. Do you know that book?
I have heard of the book. Yes.
Yes. So this English class was forced to read it, and it is very, very pornographic sexual material about a minor. So mind you, this is an English class, clearly unrelated. So Claire and I, we got this information from a friend who was in the class, and we exposed it. That professor has been removed. She is not returning to St. Mary's after that happened. Wow. So we don't have any direct evidence that that is why, but you know, we can't help but feel like this is definitely something that shook things up a little bit. So we can't help but feel like, you know, there's some things being hidden at St. Mary's as well. So Claire and I are going to try to dive into that. But so funny enough, though, there was a pretty bad apology. There was an email sent by our president to all the students and family at the school, basically responding to all of the claims that Claire and I have made against the school, trying to claim, you know, we're wrong, we're spreading misinformation. And one of the points we feel like she was definitely talking about this one professor claiming that the professors at St. Mary's have the academic freedom to let students read whatever they feel is necessary. So what do you think about the so-called academic freedom that professors have? Where should the line be drawn? Because I don't think that line was drawn correctly there at all.
Right. Yes, I've heard the same argumentation. And the reality is that the American Library Association has corrupted and empowered all of these people to say things like that. Like, you know, I have the educational background to make these decisions. And even our board recently, while this grandmother on our school board has repeatedly asked me to stop reading from the books because it makes her uncomfortable. And I've done trauma to the listeners of the school board meeting by reading from the books that she's put in front of children and won't remove. But anyway, she cited that the experts, the trained experts, are the media specialists. And she basically said, I trust them to make these decisions. So it's an excuse that I hear often, is that the trained experts are the only ones that can determine what, you know, is put into a library or what books the students can read. You parents, you just know nothing. And so you need to just sit back and let the experts make the decisions. And a lot of this messaging is coming directly from the American Library Association, who dedicates a lot of time and effort to putting pornographic books in front of other people's children. And so they have a banned books talking points toolkit that uses all of these same lines, including, you know, these are experts and they're trained professionals and things like that. So it's a common argument, but it's pretty easy when you just talk to some parents and ask parents, you know, what do you think about these? It doesn't take a trained professional to determine what's pornography and what's not.
So obviously you and I have totally different experiences. You're fighting the school system that's dealing with minors, and we're at the collegiate level. Do you think that it's appropriate that these types of books are being offered at the college level, or do you still think that it's, you know, completely unnecessary? And, you know, like, why are we doing this, especially at a Catholic college?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I would start to ask those deeper questions and really, like, take that book and let's compare it to scripture and let's see if the messaging is parallel. If you're calling yourself a Christian institution, then there's a different standard there for sure. I would expect it more coming out of a public school, a public college, and I guess they have the prerogative to do that. I think they should also offer students an opt-out if they are not comfortable reading and dealing with that type of material, which I would hope my kids, and my kids would be like, what? I'm not reading that, you know? But I would hope that there's kids with enough backbone that if they were raised and trained differently, that they would stand up against that and say, no, I'm not reading that. I'm not subjecting my mind to that. My mind is going to be given to pure things and clean things and things that honor God, not, you know, to these books. I don't know what the messaging is of Salvage the Bones. I'm trying to remember. I know I'm familiar with it vaguely, but yeah, I would say, you know, students should have the prerogative to decide that that's not fitting for them. And at a Christian institution, definitely a different standard should be upheld.
Definitely. Yeah. You'd have to do some digging into this book. I mean, you're gonna be horrified by what you see, but I mean, no, like you said, especially at an institution that claims to be Catholic, it doesn't make any sense. I'd expect it more out of public institutions. Hopefully neither do any of it, but unfortunately here we are. So I mean, this is still happening. I mean, you know, like you said, I mean, the school hasn't done anything where you're from. So as for the future, what are your goals going forward in all this? What do you hope to happen next?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question and something that I've actually been considering a lot more recently, like what are ultimately my goals? And I think Ephesians 5:11 is a summary in part of what I'm attempting to do, is exposing the evil deeds of darkness, the things that are done in secret that have been hidden, you know, just shining a bright light into those dark areas, especially in school libraries. Of course, I've stayed very focused on that. And so, you know, that my goals are to just continue to dig and understand where it's all coming from and how to really, and that's where I'm kind of trying to figure out exactly what it is. Am I trying to show people the depth of the darkness so that they then are compelled to turn to the light and to realize, like, this is really, really bad and evil and wicked stuff being perpetrated on children, the most vulnerable people. And so I guess in that, my goal would be to really make people think deeply about, you know, why evil? Why is evil so powerful and coming so hard at my children? And then be compelled to really search out those answers in a really deep way. And hopefully they would come to the conclusion that there's a God that is standing against this evil and that there's an answer in Christ for the evil.
I don't know. Absolutely. I it's just beyond me that these school board people have openly acknowledged how wrong it is that these books are even in the libraries. And they've said, yeah, let's do everything we can to get rid of them, but kind of brush it under the rug. That's kind of just completely shocking to me and disgusting. Is there anything else that you'd like our listeners to know or understand about your fight, or any support that we can give to you, and what can we do to, you know, help your cause?
Oh, that's very kind. Well, I mean, just maybe following my Instagram and what's happening in Hillsborough County. I think it's helpful to anyone across the country to see what's happening in Florida. If it's happening in Florida, it's probably happening in other districts across the country. So following my Instagram and, you know, commenting, I think is helpful. It just draws more views. And then, you know, doing your own deep dive into what's going on and stepping into the fight. It's not fun, but, you know, I was actually looking through some things this morning and seeing how the design is to wear parents down and to keep us from staying in the fight by, you know, doxing us and by making the process of removing a book almost impossible. So there's all these like barriers that they have put up, and there's very few people, I think, that are willing to just continue to try to pull down those barriers and make progress. And so I would encourage people to recognize that and fight even harder because of it. I don't know that there's any other ways to help, but thank you for asking. That's very kind. And to both of you, I mean, I'm really proud of the way that you guys have just dug your heels in and said, no, we're not just going to stand for this. We're not going to sit back, and you're going to go meet with the president and vice president and continue to fight and say, you know what? This book is not appropriate for a Christian college. That's great. You guys are really, your parents should be very proud of you. And I'm very proud of you. So thank you for setting an example for the young people too, who are kind of lost out there and don't have a lot of role models that are their age that are doing what you guys are doing. So I'm really grateful. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. I mean, unfortunately we're fighting evil, not just here, but everywhere. So thank you so much for everything you're doing. I think we definitely need more people like you. I mean, you know, we're facing evil everywhere, and it's up to all of us to fight it. We can't just sit back and just let it happen. So this has been amazing. Thank you so much, everyone. Again, it is at @Julie_Ann_speaks. Definitely go follow her. This has been an amazing episode. Thank you so much. Definitely keep up the work you're doing, and we'll keep up ours. So
thank you. Yes.
So thank you so much, everyone. This has been a great episode, and we will see you next time.
Bye-bye.